Ephesians chapter 4, you're going to hear a very unusual sermon from your pastor this morning, because you're used to a verse or two, and or maybe a topic where we travel around through the scripture. But today what we're going to do is open the scripture. There's a great concern on my heart, and there has been for a long time, and I believe this scripture addresses that concern. In Ephesians chapter 4, we were reading in the Sunday school class this morning down into verse 10. Well, verse 11 talks about some gifts that Jesus Christ has given to us: apostles, prophets, evangelists. That's what Brother Walker's calling is. That way he gets to preach real hard and leave. Some pastors and teachers, and that's what I am. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. See that in verse 12? Verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we, in other words, we're given the pastors and teachers and evangelists and so forth for these things. Verse 12, the perfecting of saints, among other things, the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. He wants us to be together. People said, why are there so many churches? I get asked that question all the time. I was asked that question this week. Then the problem is that even when people are saved, they splinter because they're not unified in the faith. And part of it is what's happened by their pastors and teachers. Okay? And then he's wanting us to come unto this perfect man. Watch it. Verse 14, it's for our protection, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men. That's what a magician does. And cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So he's saying, listen, guys, you got to understand, the Holy Spirit in verse 13 wants us to be unified in the faith, and the devil, using men who lie in wait to deceive, wants to break us up and toss the children to and fro with every wind of doctrine. In verse 15, but that's not how we're supposed to do it. We're to speak the truth in love. Listen, if I'm speaking the truth in love, I can be hard on you if I love you. When Pastor Hank Thompson died and I went to his funeral, people said he loved hard. He preached hard, but he loved hard. When people really love you, they'll tell you the truth. I mentioned to a fellow this week, I said, you know what, to hear from somebody speaking the truth to you straight is a whole lot better than a sugar-coated lie. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Paul, he never wrote a run-on sentence, but boy, his sentences sure ran on. All that you just read there is a sentence. And in the last part of that, in verse 16, basically he's saying this. I'm looking at a church today, and we represent a piece of the body of Christ. We are the local organization of a larger organism, but we function as a body. And everybody here has a place. And everybody here has a piece to fitly join together. You ever work a crossword puzzle? Not a crossword puzzle. A jigsaw puzzle. There's a difference. Do you ever work a jigsaw puzzle? Do you ever try to put a piece that doesn't belong where you're trying to put it into that spot? And it just doesn't quite fit right. In the body of Christ, the Holy Spirit has worked it out where every one of us fits, fitly joined together, the Bible says, and compacted. You ever have a trash compactor? One time we had a trash compactor and we wanted to see how full we can get it. Don't do that. You can get it so full you can't get it out of the can. It's heavier than two of you can carry. Compacted to by that which every joint supplieth. So there is a supply in this that we accomplish. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And you'll notice a healthy congregation of Christians who are fitly joined together will grow, and you'll notice more people coming to that congregation. And we've seen that in the history of this church. Now, if all we had to say was what we've said there, because you're not really sure, where are you going with this, preacher? That's a nice little exposition to this. Where I'm going with this is, why is it that people who grow up in that kind of body end up in sin so badly that you didn't even know they were saved? How does that happen? I have personal experience with that. Anybody here have experience with that? How does it happen that we can be in the body of Christ, the unity of the faith, under good preaching so that the children are not tossed to and fro, speaking the truth in love, and fitly joined together, and end up in so deep sin that you can't tell whether the person who was here before was even saved, and they don't even know whether they're saved? How does that happen? And yet it happens all the time. How does that happen? And if we know then how it happens, maybe then we can figure out how it should stop. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I'm asking you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to accomplish something here today. First of all, Father, I pray for these dear saints that you will give us an understanding of this process, because we've all seen it, and some of us have walked it, and some of us have friends or associates or even children in it right now. We need to understand it. So I pray that you'll give us an understanding and wisdom and knowledge in these matters through these scriptures today. Secondly, Father, I pray that if we have amongst us, in a group this size, undoubtedly we do, if we have somebody amongst us today, Father, that is being tossed to and fro and by the sleight of men who are lying in wait to deceive have already begun this process, then I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, that you will arrest their thinking, stop their actions, speak to their hearts and minds, put them back on the path of righteousness. If we have amongst us anybody today, Father, that's not in either, they're just stuck in the world, but they've never gotten saved, I pray through this, Father, they'll understand their need of salvation so that we can show them how to be saved. And I pray above all things, Father, that you are glorified and that your word is magnified in all that we do. And I ask you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to answer these prayers. For we ask them in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now, do you see in the verses we've read from verse 11 down to verse 16 the importance of getting into a good local church and finding your place in the body? Do you see that? Today you've got a lot of people who want to be able to enjoy their Christianity without being a part of the church, and I'm not sure what that's all about. Sometimes it's pride, sometimes it's sin, okay? It's sin that's driving that, but they don't sense their purpose, they don't sense that they belong. It's funny how people are, some of us in this church now, have gone through the process that I'm going to describe. You start coming here and you say to me, but your church is a good church. I like the teaching in your church. And then after a while, they'll start talking like this. They'll say, man, don't we have a good church? Now, I'm not sure if you even realize that you started talking instead of about your church, you started talking about our church. But when I hear people make that transition, even though you may not even be aware that you've done it, I understand something. They are drawing into their place. They are being fitly joined together. They're finding their spot. And that's a good thing. It's also a very dangerous time because we have an adversary. And he would love to get you into a conflict with somebody over an issue of personality. Or he would love for you to hear something maybe from a visiting preacher or a visiting evangelist or from my mouth or from one of the other men that preaches here that you just don't quite agree with, and anything to get you to find a little bit of fault and anything to keep you from being fit together. We have services here on Sunday morning. We have services here on Sunday night. We have services here on Wednesday night. We often refer to the people who do all three of those as the core. But do you know what? In working out, your trainer also refers to your core. And what he's talking about is that part of your body from which everything else functions. And he wants you to get your abs. Man, when they started talking about a six-pack abs, I thought they were talking about a beer belly. I had no idea what that was. And then somebody showed me a picture one day, and I thought, that's a hopeless case for me. But thank God I realized I didn't need a six-pack. You know, as a preacher, you got to be careful talking about a six-pack, you know. I told somebody last night, I said, you know, you never want to take one Baptist fishing with you when you go because he'll drink all your beer. You need to take two. Keep an eye on each other, see. So, I just didn't know about all those things, but I do know about the core. I do know about the core. And the core is that part of your body. Everything else functions off of that core. That core's got to be right. And I also understand that the church gets healthier, it seems, as that core begins to grow. In other words, that is where people who are out, what I could say, on the fringes of the church, because that's how you start, you kind of feel in your way, start drawing into the core. Because what happens is, I know they're being fitly joined together, and now what has happened is they've become one of those joints that is supplying, and they have an effectual work, you see? But you can't do that apart from being in a local church. So the first thing that I want to say to you is that when this process begins in the life of somebody, this process of falling out, of ending up like they weren't saved, of being so taken away they don't want anything to do with God, anything to do with the Bible, or anything to do with church, one of the processes is they begin to alienate themselves from the church. They never fit. They never find their place of fit, or something happens in the church that hurts. And they kind of like, that's painful. I'm not going to get too close to that. I'm going to tell you something that's interesting. I've seen it in this church, in our church. People who are doing a lot of work, supplying a big joint in the church today, and I'm not giving them honor because they're in that position. I'm just telling you, people who are have had to pay a price of enduring some pain. I've seen it. They've had a place where they bumped into something. They bumped into me. Or they bumped into one another. Or they bumped into something of a doctrine in the Bible that really knocked them off for a while. And rather than getting bitter over the experience, they backed away, brushed themselves off, dealt with the issue, and got a little closer. And I think that piece right there is a very important part of growing to this place of being fitly joined together. There is a pressure of pushing that piece into place. And if you don't handle that pressure right there and you squirt out like a watermelon seed that just got pressed, that's going to begin to wreck your walk with Christ. A lot of people who have been in church splits come out so badly bruised, they just never, ever want to get close to God in a church. And if they don't get close to God in a church, they never get as close as they could. And they set themselves up. They set themselves up for falling away. Look at another thing here. Verse 17, he says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth," that means from now on, here forward, "walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. So what he's telling you is, you know what? You used to walk like a fool. Well, now that you're here and saved, quit walking like a fool. And how does a fool walk? Well, he walks in the vanity of his mind, which means what? It means that if he thinks it's okay or if it feels right, he'll do it. Have you ever followed that in your life? Give me this if you have. Did you ever do something that felt good and found out later, boy, that sure didn't work out? Or did you ever, like Naaman, say, I thought it was going to work out last, and didn't work out at all like you thought? Okay, well, that's the vanity of your mind. You're kind of just following the course that you think is right. Well, that got an entire generation of Jews in trouble back in the book of Judges. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That doesn't work. All right, so he says, quit walking that way. Now, watch, look at this process. This verse 18 is massive. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you haven't so learned Christ. Now you look at that word right there, lasciviousness, and you're like, those girls just got up here with their brothers and sang, you want to know about the interpretation? Whosoever means, who's just what it says, whosoever, and forever means we're never going to die. And what does lasciviousness mean? Y'all got that one? I didn't hear that one in the song. Well, you know, when you hit a word like that, you look it up. In Greek? Are you kidding? You wouldn't even know how to spell it. Look it up in English. Now, I've preached an entire sermon on lasciviousness, and I'm not going to re-preach it today. But let me just tell you what it is. It says he given themselves over to lasciviousness. Basically, lasciviousness is that lust that's in you, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. And what happens is you just give yourself over to whatever your flesh wants. Well, the Bible says in the Old Testament that a fool, like a dog, returns to his own vomit again. That lasciviousness can take you down some pretty wicked paths. I would say a good definition of lasciviousness is basically whatever Hollywood is calling a popular movie today. Sex and violence and drugs and graft and espionage and all that other kind of stuff. And those are just men given over to lasciviousness. And basically what happens is when a person, you're here in church, I'm preaching to you, I'm not talking about them out there. When a person starts giving into those lusts and starts separating themselves from the life of God, he called it alienating themselves from the life of God, what begins to happen is the heart goes blind, the understanding of the mind goes dark. Do you see it in the text, verse 18? The understanding is darkened, the mind, the heart is blind, and then what happens is you are reckless and you get to a place in verse 19 where you are past feeling. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, when he describes that process of being past feeling, you know what he's talking about there? He says, your conscience is seared with a hot iron. And you don't feel bad about the bad things you do, and you don't feel bad about the bad things you do to other people. You're past feeling. It doesn't hurt anymore. And you look at that, you say, you know what, it hurt when I was in the church, but it doesn't hurt now. It is a tragic place where people go when they finally get so comfortable in their sin that they really are at peace with themselves in their sin. You know why? How they got there? They didn't get there by being at peace with God. They didn't get there by the supernatural peace and comfort of the Spirit of God. They got there by going past feeling. By a conscience seared with a hot iron. And he says, that's not what you learned about Christ. I look at this family here that's singing for us. And I listen to what they say and I think to myself, none of them could ever go down this path. But the truth of the matter is, all of them could. I could today. And you know the thing is? That's why he said, walk not as the other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. I have to watch my walk to make sure, just like you have to watch your walk to make sure you don't take one step in the direction of a path that a Gentile walks who's not saved. And brought all the Gentiles into the church with all their lascivious behavior, and brought the lascivious behavior into the church to draw a bigger crowd of what? Mongrels. That's not a church. They're not there to be fitly joined together. They're there to be entertained. That's why you can have a service every hour. Come in, get your entertainment, leave your offering, and then leave. Next group, come in, do the same thing. We're not here for that. We're here because sometimes I can give you something that will help you stay tight in the body. And a lot of times you can give me something that keeps me to stay tight in the body. Amen. You say, what is that? Nearly every person in here prays for my wife and I. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. You get big answers to your prayers. And I'm going to tell you something. That's a tight fit. We survive on that. And Jesus Christ and the Bible. But I don't walk around here. It's not independent. We're together. We need each other. When you allow your lusts to pull you out this way, you're well nigh dead. You can't let that happen. Do you understand? Okay. So, stay connected to the body. Quit walking as the Gentiles. Let me show you some practical things. Verse 21, if so be that you have heard him, see, some of the folks that ended up like that weren't even saved, and have been taught by him, oh, I love this, as the truth is in Glenn Beck. I'm sorry, I misread that. As the truth is in Rush Limbaugh. No. No, as the truth is in whom? Jesus. See? That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, that's what I used to do, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Man, I know that about myself. Do you know that about yourself? My old man is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Trouble is, that old stinker's still around here. I smell him. Right now. Verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind that ye, watch it, put on the new man which after God, not after the lust, but after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Not the appearance of holiness, not the manifested holiness with the bouffant hairdo and the skirt up underneath your heels where you're tripping all over yourself, but a holiness that came from God inside. Amen. And a righteousness that came from Jesus Christ inside. The Bible says Jesus is our righteousness. I walk on the path of righteousness just like you do, but I'm not walking there because I'm righteous. I think we did our young people in camps some disservice when we used to preach, do right. It's better to be right. Because when you be right, you'll do right. But if you do right, you can do right for a while and be wrong on the inside, and guess what's going to show up? A detour. You're going to be wrong. You're going to do wrong because you are wrong. So he says here, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. What are his characteristics? Look at this in verse 25. Wherefore, put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. You know one of the first signs that somebody's getting ready to take the exit, to go the wrong direction? They start lying. They do. They lie to themselves, they lie to God, and they lie to you. You'll be here tonight for church? Yep. You lying. I'll try to be. You're still lying. You know but good and well you're not going to be here tonight. You liar. Start lying. You know what happens in a marriage when a husband has to lie about his love for his wife when he really doesn't love her? Breaks the marriage up. Why? Heart's already gone bad. He said, you better tell the truth. You better tell the truth. He said, once you start covering your bad thoughts and your bad behavior with lies, you're already starting to walk as the other Gentiles walk. Lying is one of the characteristics. Look at verse 26. Be ye angry and sin not. Boy, that's tough. I hadn't found a way to do that yet. I really haven't. I got such a problem with anger. Every time I do anything with anger, I'm always sinning. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. There's your marriage advice for today. Settle it before you go to bed. As a matter of fact, settle it before nightfall. Have supper in peace. Be ye angry and sin not. You're going to have to learn how to get control of that anger. And there are many components. We're not preaching on anger tonight, today. I said tonight. You thought you'd been here that long, hadn't you? Verse 27, neither give place to the devil. The devil gets involved in this. Listen, if God gives you the righteousness and the pastor and teacher that Jesus Christ gave you and the evangelist are helping you, then guess who's trying to pull you off the track? The devil. And may I tell you something? He is real. You know, so here's that old man at work. He's lying. You know what the new man does? He tells the truth. The old man, he gets angry and sins. The new man, he gets angry and he doesn't sin. I suppose the only time you can do that is when you get mad at the same thing God gets mad at. And neither give place to the devil. The old man always does, and the new man says, I don't want anything to do with you. You and I aren't going to spend eternity together. Why should we start walking together right now? Verse 28, let him that stole steal no more. That's what the old man does. He takes to get whatever he wants. What do drug addicts begin to do? They spend their own money till they run out of money, then they start spending your money. How do they get that? They come into your neighborhood, they walk into your house, and they take it. When we took a handgun class, the guy says, they come up to you these days, they don't say, give me your money. You know what they say? Give me my money. They're stealing. But rather let him labor. Boy, isn't that fun? Working with his hands the thing which is good that he may have to give to him that needeth. So go get a job and live within your means. And live so well within your means you have a little left over so that after you've paid your tithe you can still give a little to somebody else. He said, boy, that'd be hard to do. Yes, it is. But it keeps you out of trouble. Let no corrupt, verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. If what you say edifies a hearer, make him better, you're functioning well in the body. If what you talk about breaks them down, you're not ministering to the body. Stay connected to the body, first thing. Quit walking as the Gentiles, second thing. Put on the new man. Third thing, when I remember years ago, Jerry and I were working together at Capital National Bank, might have been M Bank by that time in Houston. I went over one time to a Nautilus gym. Yeah, that's the old stuff now. Now it's Gold's Gym, it's Athletic Club, it's whatever. But back in those days, it was Nautilus. Any of you guys old enough to remember Nautilus? Okay, three of you, okay. Three of you and Mr. Holder, but Mr. Holder didn't ever care anything about Nautilus anyway. I went over there, and there was this really fit athletic guy there. I mean, boy, his arms were good, and all the forearms were good, and thighs big and good like that. And I'm over there trying to just figure out the machine, you know. And he says, you need some help? And I said, yeah, I guess so. I mean, you're looking at me, boy. I'm never going to be a poster kid, okay, for the gym, all right? So he's over there trying to get me situated in this thing, show me how to use this, how to get the pin and the first weight in the machine, you know. He says, you want to look like this? I said, yeah. He said, ain't going to happen. He was right. He was right. I waited till I got older and I'm just on a maintenance program now. That's all I do. That's the new man. And it takes a lot of exercise in godliness to make a new man out of you. That's why Paul said, exercise yourself rather unto godliness. It takes a little exercise. It's not an automatic process. You just put your Bible under your pillow at night and say, I'm going to be better in the morning. Stay connected to the body. Quit walking as the Gentiles. Put on the new man. He said, it's getting clear. You're looking at, you don't even have to look at your watch. You know I'm getting close to the end of the chapter and I'm not going to five. So we're good. Last thing, verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, not some, not that bitterness that you had toward, you know, Mary and Polly and Sue, but I'm going to hold on to that bitterness that I had against Jane. He said, how much bitterness are you to let go of?
All.
Say it again.
All
of you say it.
All.
There you go. Yeah, let all bitterness go. And wrath and anger and clamor, look it up, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Malice is not only am I mad at you, but I want to hurt you. With my tongue or my fist. They said a woman can do more damage with a 6-inch tongue than she could with a 6-shot revolver. It can get bad. Real bad. Verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You're going to bump into people in the body of Christ where all these little things in verse 31 are going to come up. And he said, and when they do, don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Why? He still loves them. God loved them enough to forgive them. I know in verse 32, people have said to me, hey, wait a minute. I know you may be having trouble forgiving old so-and-so for what he did to you, but I want to ask you a question. What has he ever done to you that's worse than what you've done against God? I said, well, nothing. Okay, then, if God could forgive you, then you forgive him. And that's a lot of truth in that. How are we going to stay in church? I didn't say how are we going to keep our children in church. I didn't say that. That's another sermon. How are we going to stay in Christ? How are we going to, and I mean, you're not going to fall out of Christ. I mean, stay in like we've been talking today in this context. Close and growing and coming up under the head, which is Jesus Christ. How are we going to do that? Stay connected to the body. Quit walking as the Gentiles. Put on the new man and don't grieve the Spirit of God. Let me just describe one thing to you about grieving the Spirit of God and then we're going to close. Are you going to heaven when you die? Amen. Come here, Zach. He's my man. He keeps sitting up here on the front row, so it gets easy. Get it right there. Okay, now Zach is, here's a young man. Whew, he's been to Nautilus. I may not be able to pull off this illustration if he gets serious about this, but we're gonna show you. Zach is determined that he wants to start walking as some of the Gentiles walk, so they walk that way. I'm the Holy Spirit, and I'm determined that he's going to start walking this way. Go ahead, go ahead. Now, you know what the matter is? This is a grief. And if he keeps pulling harder, keep going. It's going to be a real grief. But you know something? I'm going to win because I'm the Holy Spirit. And it's going to be a fight the whole way. Why not just turn yourself around? Come on, come over here. Come on, we're going this way. And just follow. Isn't this easier? And man, there's some peace and happiness. Come on. Way over here that you don't start experiencing back there with the fight. But man, you start experiencing here. And you know something? You can't get into lasciviousness and have this peace. Thank you. At all. I understand it now. I see it now. I see why it happened. in my life. I saw what happened now in some other folks that I know that I'm close to. I don't want it to happen to you.
Amen.
If you're here today and you've begun this process, you know it. Quit lying. Verse 25. And get it straight with God. Not tonight. Right now.
Amen.
Right now. Let's pray. Father, I'm thankful today. I love this Bible. Because it is true and it shows me myself. And it shows me others. We can see it now. Father, I pray for our sheep. I love these folks. It's just so painful, Father, to find somebody that was so close growing, just about to get fit. And they end up outside, further away, into some stuff that's even unspeakable. Lasciviousness takes over so hard. They don't even feel it anymore, and they think they're right doing what they're doing. I pray for them. But Father, we've got others that are here today. They haven't gone here yet, but they might. I beg you, please, as your Holy Spirit just moves gently upon our congregation, that every soul will do a search. Some would be better to get out of their seats and come forward, get right here on this altar like one has already done, and just say, Lord, please, fit me in. Let me get comfortable in the new man. Get away from that old man. Come on. If you feel that way, come on now. You don't have to wait. We're not going to sing. Some, Father, just feel more comfortable making an altar out of their seat. They should. Pray right there. But Father, I'm tired of losing them one at a time. And I know you are too. I beg you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.